Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Man, by this time, well, we'll be, not by this time, but this time next week, we'll be close to Christmas for the NFL draft, folks. Man, I am so excited. I can't even gather my thoughts. You are now talking with TD. I am Teron Davenport. We got Elijah hitting the switches, Elijah Campbell, that is. Shout out to Max Hers for helping us out as well. We have an awesome show for you. This is the grand finale of Talking with TD NFL Draft Talk. This season, the 2021 edition, Dio Odangbo, Vanderbilt, defense, we'll just call him defensive lineman. We got Derek Barnes out of Purdue. That dude right there, certified wig splitter. And then we got a guy you may not know about, and that's Kenny Randall out of Charleston, a defensive tackle, a nose tackle, that is, that the Titans, I know, have shown some interest. So we'll get into all that with him. It's crazy to think that we are just outside of a week away from the draft. I am excited, man. Like, I'm so excited. We have so many things working. 102.5 The Game. We're going to be there at 3rd and Home, right there in the Nashville Sound Stadium. And then we're going to have Friday covers as well. I'm working on a special guest for Thursday, so we'll just go ahead and keep that one on ice. But, you know, I think it's about time we go ahead and get into this next part of the show, what we've opened up with, because, you know, I think it's only right we talk to a guy who has been there and done that. So let me get that music. You already know what we are. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yo, that's just, it makes me smile every time it comes on.
That's right there.
Because I already know what's about to happen.
Hey.
I'm about to talk shop with my PNC, my partner in crime.
No doubt.
Chris Sanders.
What's up, baby?
A.K.A. the frog from Diggum Smacks. Yo, Lucky Charms, hey. Leprechaun looking dude.
Oh, man, you look like that Geico lizard. Hey, man, I, you know, when we start the show, I got to get my rap skills.
Yeah,
on,
let me, come on, a couple bars, man. Let me get them.
Are you ready for it?
I stay ready.
You're chilling on the mic because you know it's a rap, because next Thursday we're doing the draft. But I really want to know, you know, it's a Roni. I want to know we're going to pick Newsom or Kadarius Toney.
Ooh. I like that.
Just call me Run.
TMC. Yeah. C.
Man, are you excited about next week, man?
Oh, absolutely, man. I am very excited. And it's crazy because we're giving them a taste of what's to come on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
When we talk shop with Jarrett, and we're going to join Stillman and Company for a draft preview. And then the following Thursday, that's when we unwrap one present. Just one. Right? It might be two. You never know what. Maybe the Titans trade back into the back of the first and draft Elijah Moore. I don't know. You never know what could happen. But, hey, man, either way, I'm excited about it.
Me too, boss.
And, you know, I wanted to get you on because the waiting period, you know, is something that, as a person who doesn't have a horse in the race, I'm sitting here like on pins and needles like, man, the anticipation is great.
Yeah.
So let's take it beyond just the common approach, the common person approach, and let's go to where you were, you know, and just that time period before the week of the draft, you know, because here you were a guy who just, you know, knew how to pick them up and put them down. You know, you did everything that you needed to do to solidify a top three round draft pick, and, you know, that's what you ended up being. But that week leading up to, what did you do? Like, what are these guys that are about to have life-changing experiences? What did they – how do you pass that time?
You know, T.D., you said something profound, that you did all what you can do. And you know, I did the combine. I did my individual workouts, and I tested really well. So now it's just a waiting period. You're waiting to see what's going to happen. You're waiting to see where you're going to get drafted. And the one thing I definitely had to do is I had to turn off ESPN. I had to turn off the radio because you start listening to, well, he might get drafted, he might not get drafted. So I had to turn it off because now you're dealing with something that's out of your hand. It's out of your hands. You know, yeah, there's teams that are contacting you, like Washington Redskins contacted me, the Jets contacted me. They were saying, well, we might get you in this round or that round. So I'm still unsure. So that whole week was unnerving. So what I did is me and my girlfriend at the time, we flew down to North Carolina, and we just sat and we just spent time with my mom. We sat there, we talked, we laughed. And, you know, when you with mama, you get some good cooking. So I ate a whole bunch of fried cornbread and chicken and things like that to ease my mind, because you got so many things that are going on through your mind. Where am I going to get drafted? Am I going to get drafted? Am I going to be a free agent? But at the end of the day, these guys need to understand that it's out of your hands.
Yeah, and that's the key thing, and it's something that you know, just an approach to everything, right? You can worry about what you can control. You control what it is that you can control, and that's the focus. And I guess, you know, in this situation, it really applies. How did you keep from going crazy, though? Like, I know you said you turned off ESPN, yeah. You turned off Fox Sports and all that stuff, but, I mean, I'm sure it still dominated your thoughts.
It did. I mean, every second, because as a little kid, just a minute, I'm going to take you through a story. Not a story, but just kind of take you through what I was thinking. As a young kid, I grew up to try – I wanted to play in the NFL. When I was in high school, I dreamed about it. Then I went to college, I dreamed about it. Then now you're on the cusp and you're close to getting your dream. You just imagine what's going through your mind because of uncertainty. I mean, I'm sitting in my house and, you know, I turned off ESPN, I turned off the radio. I watched a lot of Tom and Jerry. I mean, I know that's great, the cartoon. I watched a lot of Tom and Jerry to get my mind off it, because just like what you said, TD, I consistently talked about it. I consistently thought about it. Like, okay, where am I going? Well, Washington talked to me. This team talked to me. Am I going to go here? All these things. But what I had to do is I had to tell my emotions to shut up. And when you tell your emotions to shut up, now you can think clearly and say, you know what? I did all I can do. I ran the fastest 40. I jumped the highest. I caught the ball well. Now let the chips fall where they fall.
Yeah, and that's really the whole thing. That's what you have to do. When you look at the process, though, right, you're about to get a brand new city of residence. Like, I mean, it's just like the whole thing is just so crazy to me. I mean, like, these guys are about to find out where they're going to spend, in most cases, the next 3 years of their lives.
You know what's so funny is me, Joey Galloway is my roommate for 5 years. Mm. We laughed, we cried, and we everything. And when I got drafted, and he got drafted, I came home and we hugged each other because he got drafted in the first round with Seattle. But then we both had to leave the camp and we were packing up our stuff. And as I was packing up my stuff, and I want to backtrack a little bit, Joey Galloway never showed emotion. Even when he tore his knee up, he never showed emotion. He never showed emotion. But then I walked in his room and I said, dude, our life is about to change. And that was the first time I seen Joey Galloway cry, because he understood that when we leave this place, our life is about to change. We're changing cities. We're not in Ohio State anymore. We're changing cities. He's going to Seattle. I'm going to Houston. So we're embarking on a territory that we've never been on. So the scariness of it, the thoughts of it, I mean, that's a scary thing. And that was the first time I ever seen Joey Galloway show emotions, because he understood the magnitude of what was going to happen.
That's wild. That's wild and interesting at the same time. Man, I could only imagine. That's something I think of every year. I'm like, wow, man, like, these dudes, they don't know next week, you know, if they'll be living in Cleveland or Chicago, Buffalo.
Or
you know,
not get drafted at all.
Right, and that's the whole other thing, not get drafted at all. Going into the draft, right, I'm sure you had projections where you felt that you would go. And I'm sure that they were higher than where you did go. How did you handle that emotion just on draft day?
I didn't know. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking that Washington was going to pick me. See, the team that picked me, the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans, they didn't even talk to me. Hmm. Well, they didn't even talk. They didn't say not a word to me. But in the back of their mind, they knew that we were going to sneak and get him. And, you know, all week long, okay, I'm sitting there just sitting at the table with my mom and my girlfriend at the time. And I'm like, okay, Washington talk to us. Maybe they'll get us. Then all of a sudden, the draft comes on, and at the end of the middle of the second round, they're like, well, this is where they can pick Chris Sanders because he came on like gangbusters. And I'm like, all excited. All of a sudden, they went with somebody else, and then now my emotions are jacked up again. Now I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden they call me the third round of the 67th pick. Let's go pick him up and put him down. All that hard work paid off.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like everything at that moment is, okay, everything I did, man, here it is. It paid off.
Yeah.
How do you avoid making that opportunity just be a letdown? Like, how do you approach maximizing that opportunity?
I think you really got to stay focused. And I think sometimes people go into the draft thinking, okay, if I don't go first, second, or third round, then it's a failure. No, you're being drafted in the NFL. There's seven rounds, and that means you're a 1%er. That means 1% of the people make it in the NFL. Don't let it be a letdown to say, okay, I didn't get picked the fifth pick, but then I got picked the 23rd pick. You still got picked. You got to keep your focus. You got to say, okay, you know what? Even though I get picked at number five, I got picked at 23, and now I have an opportunity to showcase my talent. Now I have the opportunity to all the hard work that I put in. And that's why you notice that when guys get their names called and they walk up on the stage and they hug Goodell, all the emotions come down, come out. The reason why the emotions come out and they're crying is because the blood, the sweat, the uncertainty, the overcoming injuries, the doubts, all the things. Now you're embarking on, man, this is a reality, boss. That's why they show emotions. A lot of people are like, why that grown man crying? Because you don't know that man's story.
Yeah.
He has a story. Now you're about to read his book to what team he goes to.
Yeah. When you got drafted, who was on the other line calling you? Was it Jeff Fisher? Was it the GM? Was it Mr. Floyd?
It was Jeff Fisher. Yes, I know. We're going to play both. That's kind of how it was. But
we want you here. And
let me tell you a story how it went down, and it's going to be quick. Okay, I was sitting there, and you know how they walk up to the podium and they say your name. But they couldn't say your name. They couldn't say my name is because they were in a deep conversation. The panelists of guys that were talking. So at the bottom of the screen, it started blinking. It said current selection. It said Houston Oilers, and it said Chris Sanders. And I turned to my mom and said, Mom, I just got drafted. She said, boy, don't be playing with me. I said, Mom, I got drafted. And then on the background, while they're talking, it says Chris Sanders gets drafted by Houston Oilers, and it starts showing my highlights. And then the commentators went to it. It says Houston Oilers select Chris Sanders from Houston Oilers. And, man, that place erupted. My mom had a Jerry curl. Her Jerry curl was shaking. I mean, all that.
She left a mark on the couch.
She left a mark on the couch like coming to America. I'm like, Mama, it's okay.
Just let your soul glow. Oh, man, stop it.
But it was. She did. She jumped up, and I saw the mic. I'm like, well, let's go eat, Mama. Let's go eat. You crazy, man.
Yo. That had to be an awesome moment,
man. It was. It was an awesome moment because my mom knew all the stuff that I went through, to where when I was a third grader, they tried to diagnose me with ADD. Mm. When I was a seventh and eighth grader, they said I would never amount to nothing. You know, when people in my neighborhood said that he's too stupid to go to college, the same way that they said that I'll never make it when I got 11 on my ACT, to now all those things you said that I wouldn't become, the 67th pick, the third round of the NFL draft, that's a story in itself.
Yeah, yeah. And now look at you. You know what I mean? That's, yeah.
Man, that's a blessing, bro.
Absolutely, man. And I watched a little bit of your live, you know what I mean? Shout you out on that. And, yeah, I like the analogy that you gave to home plate and the umpire wiping the plate clean, and you know, cleaning the fish, and that's what Jesus wants to do with us, man. So that was definitely a really good. I wanted to shout that out. I gotta ask you though, why did you have a Michigan picture in your background?
Oh, you saw that? Oh, I made a bet.
Absolutely.
I made a bet with one of the kids about 6 years ago. I was 7 years ago, and I made a bet, and he gave me the Michigan thing, and he said, you can never take it out.
Oh.
I can't take it out. I got to keep my word. You know, I'm going to throw some darts at it and throw some whatever at it, but it's got to hang up, dog.
Yeah, maybe draw a circle around it and that cross mark, you know what I mean? And that'll make it official.
I know, man. Shoot. You know, I'm like, no, Michigan's whack.
I hear you. Well, Chris, man.
Man, appreciate you.
I definitely appreciate it. It's always fun. I can't wait. Man. Tomorrow,
we're going to have fun.
It's full of energy. And next Thursday, full of energy. I'm working on something, so we're going to make this happen, man,
dude,
for
that's
sure.
That's been a long day, but I'm excited about it. Hey, looking forward to work with you, TD.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to freedomtireguys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at freedomtireguys.com.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Now money ain't a problem. See, my dough is like...
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Look, man, we've lost a lot of hip-hop artists, man. So I wanted to, you know, use Black Rob for my bump music this week, man, because rest in peace, Black Rob. We'll go ahead and, you know, give him his props, man. It's a shame. But you hear his song, Whoa. And that's something that you automatically say when you see our next guest. And, you know, reasonably so. So we're going to bring in Vanderbilt Edge, Dio Odengbo. Dio, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. And I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, this is the last show of draft season. So I definitely am thankful that I'm able to get you on, man. And just let me say this. And watching your game, right, and the way you play, the energy and everything like that, the power is something else, man. So I want to shout you out for that right from the jump. Thanks. But it's crazy because it's kind of like a family affair. You know what I'm saying? Like you have a brother in the league too. What was it like, you know, that 1 year that you got to play with Dowry, together at Vandy?
It was cool. Well, actually, we got to play together for 2 years.
Okay.
It was cool. We never actually were able to ever play on a team together until college. So that was kind of a big thing for me coming to Vanderbilt. So it was a lot of fun, though. It was cool to have him on the same team as me and be able to see him every day, work out with him. It's definitely a different experience having like your actual family member on a team with you. But it was fun.
How much did him being there, like Big Bro was there, how much did that influence you to come to Vandy as well?
I mean, it was a big part of it. Just one, because he was there, and then two, I'd just been around the program for a while.
Okay.
I had a great relationship with the coaching staff, so that ended up being a big influence kind of in my recruiting process.
Yeah, that makes sense. And even when you got there, you know, we saw you continue to develop over the years. How would you categorize, if you had to use one word to just explain or sum up your career there at Vandy, what would that word be? I'll give you one. I'm going to say destructive. That's what I'm going to say. And just in watching you, I mean, we're talking about, what, 31 TFLs over your career, right? Multiple sacks. You know, obviously, the numbers could always be better, right? You always strive for more, but still, just in watching your play, I would summarize it as destructive.
I feel that, yeah. I agree.
Another word that I would put on it is relentless. And, you know, there are a few plays that kind of sum it up or showcase it, but Mississippi State, that game, you were playing inside. I think it was like three tech, if I'm not. No, you were head up. You were head up. And you got off the ball, and you beat the center. You kind of hit like a spin move. You got cut by the running back. You got up, and you still had the nerve to make the sack. So, for me, you know, when I see that, you know, that summarizes the relentless approach that you bring to the game. You have a high motor. What is it that drives you? Why do you play that way?
Kind of just playing with a chip on my shoulder. I've always felt like I was kind of an underdog. I mean, going to Vanderbilt, you're just naturally the underdog in the SEC, so you kind of have to play with that kind of chip on your shoulder to really be able to make it. So that's kind of part of it. And then I've always just felt like I've been overlooked and underrated for a while. So that's kind of the mentality I was trying to play with, is just giving everything I got every game. So.
Now, what about the versatility? Because I saw you play. You're kind of like what they call a piano man, right? You play up and down the line of scrimmage. Well, what is it about you that allows you to be able to be so effective from so many different techniques and positions?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been blessed to be a fairly large, you know, pretty big guy, and I with good athleticism, and I have super long arms, so that pretty much helps me all up and down the line. So I got asked to do a lot of stuff at Vanderbilt. Like you said, I played every technique on the defensive line. So kind of just getting those reps at it, and then just like my God-given ability, just with my size and athleticism, kind of just makes me a mismatch for wherever I am. I'm at the line. So that's kind of how I've been able to be most disruptive, kind of in that most versatile. So
you mentioned your height, you know, and just your God-given just size. I think that's something to look at. 6'5", 285. Your brother, what, Dario, is what, 6'2"?
He's about 6'2.5",
6'3". So I got to ask you, man, were you, you know, getting fed something different? What happened? Why'd you get all the height?
I don't know. I kind of just grew later on, so.
Yeah.
Gained some interest, so.
Yeah, I feel you, man. That was just, you know, just a joke, man. I wouldn't expect you to answer that, man. I know you went to Vandy, but you're probably not that smart to be able to explain that one. So I get it, man. I get it. Speaking of Vandy, the coaching staff, you mentioned those guys earlier. I know Jovan Hay, you know, that's an outstanding coach. What did you kind of pull out of getting to work with guys like that? And even, you know, working with our coach, I can never pronounce his name right, Kenichi or Kenichi Odizi?
Yeah, Coach KU.
Yeah. There you go, Coach KU. We'll say it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Being able to work with them, both of them, was a blessing. I mean, I had multiple position coaches while I was at Vanderbilt, and I had a great relationship with all of them. I feel like I learned from all of them, so. But being able to work with Coach Hay for 3 years with him, and then Coach KU for 1 year. I mean, Coach Hay, he's like family to me. So, I mean, obviously he was a Vanderbilt and played D-line. So he kind of went through a lot of the experiences that we go through on a day-to-day. So just having him around, he's always there for the players, always going to do whatever it takes. To be best for the players. So, and then, yeah, Coach KU, I learned a lot from him just this year and his expertise, having him come in, someone who's been a former first-round pick and has all the accolades and has won national championships as a player and a coach. So just having him around and kind of the expertise and the knowledge he had to offer was a blessing this last year, and it definitely helped a lot. In my play in the season. So I definitely have learned a lot from both of them, and they've really been there a lot for me in multiple ways on and off the field. So I always appreciate them.
And we're talking to Dayo Odengbo, Vanderbilt, defensive lineman, outside linebacker, Vanderbilt piano man, we'll say it that way. Coach KU, he is now with the Titans. Obviously there's a connection there. Have you been able to talk to him, you know, throughout this process?
I've been able to talk to Coach KU and keep a open dialogue with him. Like I said, he's always there for the players. So, I've been able to talk to him through this process. And it's been interesting.
Has that kind of led to contact with the Titans themselves, like with Coach Vrabel, with John Robinson, Shane Bowen, the coordinator, Terrell Williams, the defensive line coach? Has that kind of blossomed into that form of contact?
I mean, I wouldn't say that's kind of where that blossomed from. I feel like that was just I have had some of those conversations, but that was more, I wouldn't say that came from Coach KU. It was more just kind of the process.
Yeah.
Out. So
the tape don't lie. I feel you. I feel you on that. And then in watching you play, you know, you use a series of moves. You mentioned the long arms. You know, I see you using that long arm. I mentioned the spin. You got a bull rush. Are these all things that just came naturally? Is it something that, you know, you've worked to establish such a range of tools to work with? How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is work, technical work and stuff. Those are things that I've worked on and drilled as far as hand placement goes and just leverage and trying to create momentum and counter momentum. So those are things that I've worked with my coaches, my position coaches, and individually through the stuff I've learned by myself or with other trainers. So, yeah, so obviously, like, God-given ability plays into it and just being able to execute those moves. But those are all things that I learned and have worked on.
Yeah, and it definitely shows. I want to talk a little bit about adversity, you know, and it's always good to kind of pick your brain and just kind of get your viewpoint on things that push you and just how you work through different situations. And specifically, I mean, you kind of go through the roller coaster situation of you get the Senior Bowl invite, you know what I mean? And it's going to be a chance for you to go and show and prove. And then you have the Achilles injury. What was the key just for you to push through that, and what keeps you going to this day? Because you're still working through that whole process.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I kind of just charged it to the game, honestly. Like, as part of the game, we play injuries, so that's part of the job at the end of the day. So, for me, I really just didn't really give myself time to feel bad about myself or anything like that, or feel sorry for myself. I pretty much just tried to get back to work, tried to get back to getting better and getting healthy and being prepared to play at the next level. So at the end of the day, that's still my goal and still where I'm heading towards. So that's kind of what I'm preparing for.
How did that injury happen?
I was just training for the Senior Bowl, honestly, doing mock one-on-ones, and I was just turning the corner and just kind of gave up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it's strange hearing people talk about that, because I know, like, my younger brother, he popped his Achilles, and he said it felt like, you know, like somebody cleated him, like they stepped on his. Is that the feeling that you had?
Yeah, pretty much. It's feels like someone kicked you, or so
is yours a double rupture, or was it a single? Like, how did that whole, I asked that because I'm curious what your recovery time is, when you are expected to be able to resume football activities.
It was a full rupture. So I had surgery. It was in January, so I had surgery in January. And hopefully I'm looking to be back in action, hopefully 6 months from surgery.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And hopefully that's kind of when I'm back. But, I mean, obviously I'm not going to rush it or anything. I'll be back when it's ready to be back, so.
What are you able to do at this point just to kind of maintain somewhat of your strength or just ability, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm able to do workouts and stuff, like upper body, lower body stuff, and then my conditioning and arm bike stuff and elliptical stuff. So there's different ways I'm able to stay conditioned and stay strong.
Gotcha.
Throughout that process.
And as far as your meetings with NFL teams, how are they going? I mean, are they asking you about the injury? What are some of the things they're going through with you as you meet with them?
Yeah, I mean, they've been good. I've had some really good meetings with different teams, and everyone's pretty much asked about the injury, but it seems that most teams aren't too concerned about it, so.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I feel they shouldn't be. I mean, at the end of the day, it's part of the game. People get injured all the time. So, yeah.
Any particular players that you watched coming up? Because you know, I keep hearing that the Chandler Jones comp for you, and that's really interesting. You know, they compare because of the length, and they say that, you know, there's a tremendous amount of upside with you. Some have called you a raw prospect. Is Chandler Jones a guy that you've watched before, and is that a name that you've heard associated with yours?
Yeah, no, I mean, I watch a lot of everybody, but yeah, I watch a lot of Chandler Jones. He's one of my favorite players. Just kind of the way he plays and the technique he uses and how creative he gets with his pass rush. So he's someone I like to watch a lot. But I mean, I watch a lot of guys. I mean, I watch people who are similar in my body type, and guys who aren't. So, I mean, I watch a lot of DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead. Mm. I mean, I watch Aaron Donald. I mean, Cam Jordan, really the list can go on. So
Carlos Dunlap?
Yeah, Carlos Dunlap. And then obviously playing up and down the line, I have to kind of like learn. I'm not just watching edge guys. I'm watching interior guys. I'm watching really everyone up and down the line. So that's something that's helped my game a lot and helped with that versatility is just kind of like being able to watch everybody and take some things from their game. So
nice. And then in closing, I mean, it's the Titans podcast, so I touched on it earlier, but how have the meetings with the Titans, are there any positives? Well, I know there are positives, but are there anything that has, in particular, is there anything that has stood out to you just in your conversations with them outside of Coach KU?
I've had some, like I said, I've had some solid conversations with the Titans and have had some in-depth meeting, so I don't know if I could say really anything stood out. I mean, every team's kind of different in the way they do their interviews and stuff like that, but they're all kind of similar at the same time, so I can't say I really had anything that stood out, I mean, per se, but they're definitely very hands-on and in-depth with their process, and they're definitely trying to be pretty detailed. So I definitely think they're kind of going about it the right way.
There you go. Well, I can't wait to see where you go. Yeah, that's something that's really going to be interesting. But more importantly, I can't wait to see what your mother tweets when you get drafted, man. That's that's what I'm going to be looking for, because she's something else on Twitter, man.
Yeah, she definitely is.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, I know you're traveling, man. You're jet setting, so I appreciate you taking some time to do this. We'll make sure, you know, we keep in touch, man. And I wish you the best with your recovery and with everything that you have, a bright future, man. You take care.
Thank you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you having me on. So,
all right, for sure. Anchor down.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yes, keeping it going, man. Hey, Elijah, those Black Rob bumps, man, they're hitting real hard, and it's only right, man. Rest in peace to Black Rob, man. He's a guy that is extremely, extremely slept upon, and you heard the song, right? You never seen my face before. You don't know me. Well, I tell you one thing. You may not have seen our next guest's face before, and you may not know him, but in a year or two, you will, and that's Kenny Randall, defensive tackle, nose tackle. Out of Charleston. Kenny, what's going on, man?
Not much. Can't complain. Beautiful day.
Yes, sir. And I figured, you know, you appreciate that Black Rob. It might be before your time, but, you know, that's something that I know a lot of cats from our way, you know, Philly, Jersey, New York, they respect that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No doubt. So I want to get into something with you, man. At first, where are you weighing? Like 320, 300 pounds?
I'm at 310 right now.
310. Explain this to me, man, because, you know, I'm looking at videos. I see you doing backflips and box jumps. Where does that come from?
I mean, I've been playing basketball for years. I can say it comes a lot from that, just the explosiveness, trying to be able to dunk since I was in sixth grade.
It's crazy because you said the word that I have in my notes from watching you, and that's explosiveness. It's right there. You're a true nose tackle. So just kind of get into how you're able to use that explosiveness that goes into being able to do a backflip at 300 pounds, you know, and be able to do those large box jumps that you're able to do. How does that help you as a nose tackle?
Oh, it helps me out tremendously because I'm getting double teamed probably 95 to 99% of the time. So I'm probably getting 600 pounds on me each play. So I got to hold my own. So being able to squat a lot and then having that explosiveness is definitely helping me stand my ground on the line.
No doubt. And you look at 2019, a Cliff Harris Award Finals. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the equivalent. That's the Division II Heisman. You know what I mean? So we're talking about a guy who was a finalist as a nose tackle. That's pretty rare. 64 tackles, 7 sacks, 16 and a half TFLs. How would you kind of describe your time there at Charleston?
It's been a roller coaster for me. I mean, I've been through it all. Right now, I'm 25 years old, so I definitely could say that I've been through more than the average college athlete. Freshman, sophomore year, I mean, didn't go as planned, but I only played my junior year. My junior year, I got that Cliff Harris Award finalist, and then due to COVID, I couldn't come back for my senior year. I had opted out and entered the draft this year.
Yeah, man. And one thing, because I played D2 ball, you know what I mean? I played at Cheney University. I was at Delaware State first and transferred. And there's just a grit, right? And I mean, you're not getting a brand new pair of cleats every game. You're not getting brand new gloves every game. How much of playing Division II football is just like, yo, I love this sport? How much of it is that?
You really going to have to love the game because you putting in way more work. Probably not way more work, but you putting in equivalent work to the D1 guys, and you're not getting noticed as much as the D1 guys. So you got to put in way more work to get noticed. And being able to look out on film, you're going to have to put in a lot of work. So coming from D2 was a little hard because I committed to Temple out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I came to D2, like I'm a D1 player. I'm bigger than the program. And then it's a big wake-up call when you find out that you're just a normal guy out there.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And it was humbling, you know, going through the things. I know firsthand, man, the D2 experience, yes, is tough. And it makes you it really makes you love the game more, you know, because you're dedicating yourself to it so much. But then you come out early, right? And you don't really see that too much out of a Division II school, but you came out early. You're obviously drawing interest. So my question is, you know, what was it? Like, why make the jump? What made you feel like you were ready to do that?
I had a lot of conversations with my defensive line coach, Zach Santala, who kept it 100 with me since day one. He told me what I needed to hear. If I didn't want to hear it, he still told me. So we talked a lot, and then he was like, man, you got some good film right here, and he's already getting scouts and stuff reaching out to him. So I knew what the situation was coming into it with me being 25. I didn't really have much time to play around with it, so we just made the decision to go on and enter the draft this year, knowing that I would be late in the draft, kind of a day three guy. So I knew what the situation was going into it, and I was just ready to take on the journey.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm sure having a little man, I'm sure that, made it like, hey, man, I got to make sure I do right by him too.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't have a dad growing up. And as soon as I found out I was having a son, I was ecstatic. I couldn't wait. The time seemed like it was moving by slow. I wanted to come by so fast.
How much did that change you? Because I had my daughter, my oldest daughter. I had her my sophomore year, and it flipped the script. Like, I looked at everything differently. How much did it change you?
I right now, since I had him last April 8th, he was born. So since then, I've been waking up 6:30 a.m. getting a workout in. I'll probably give him a kiss on the forehead before I leave. So everything I do, my whole daily walk is to reflect him and to show him that I'm bigger than what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a role model for my son, so I'm definitely moving different now.
So is it safe to say that that has become your why?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then to kind of help your why come into shape, and we're talking to Kenny Randall, nose tackle out of Charleston, to kind of help your why come into shape, you, man, what you did at West Virginia's Pro Day, hot dog. You know what I mean? We're talking about the 4.95, but that 10-yard split, 1.65, we're talking about a 1.65. We're talking about a 34-inch vert, 29 reps on the bench. I think, as you said on Twitter, you know, you were low-key scooting. Tell me about that, man. How did that experience go there?
Yeah, it was very humbling because, I mean, like I said, I've been playing football since I was six, so to be able to live this experience that I grew up watching was surreal. So being able to go to West Virginia and showcase my talent that I've been training since January down in Florida, it was surreal. I had a blast out there. The West Virginia guys made me feel like I was at home, so it was definitely a great experience for me.
That was really dope that they accepted you and just were like, hey, look, man, we're all going to showcase each other. I think that's really cool because in some situations, you know, certain guys could be like, hey, man, like, you're taking my shine away. But it was like, yo, we all shine together.
Yeah, that's how I figured it was going to be when I got there because it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yep.
And that's how I was looking at it when I walked in. But they was welcoming me with open arms.
Now, you've categorized yourself as a very established run defender. What is it about you that makes you so good against the run?
I just don't accept being bullied. So if somebody's going to try to outman me, you're going to have to work 10 times harder to move me. I take pride in being able to hold that gap.
Absolutely. And when you say hold that gap, kind of expand upon that for our listeners who may not know what it is you're getting at.
So I'm just holding down where my job is. So if the center's hiking the ball, I'm probably going to be on his inside shoulder. I'm just holding my position. I'm holding my ground. He ain't going to be able to move me at all.
And you had 7 sacks the last season that you played, right? So
yes, sir.
As a nose tackle, like that's – sacks as a nose tackle, those are different than sacks as an edge. Like you're not getting that – you know, that free run off the line of scrimmage sometimes and not getting those cleanup type of sacks. But yet you still say that you want to be more refined as a pass rusher. What is it that you feel can get better to make you a more refined rusher or the passer?
Just a second effort. After you lose that rep, you got to come back with something else and just keep throwing moves and being able to get in that backfield. Like you said, it ain't easy getting a sack as a nose tackle, and I take pride in being able to get back there. So what I've been doing for the last 3 months is just getting my secondary moves, just coming up with second moves that I can use after I use the first one, and I'm not doing too good. I can get back there off another one. So just keeping moves coming and keeping my hands working is the main priority that I'm working on right now.
And how much, because those last 3 months, as you referenced, I mean, you're working with Brandon Jordan. You're working with Brian Cox, Sr., man, let me tell you something. Brian Cox, yeah, when he was in the league with that flat back neck roll, he was doing some things. So I know you're getting excellent training, and Brandon Jordan works with all of the top guys, including yourself. So how have you been able to, you know, just kind of manifest all of the teaching and experience that you're going through?
It's been crazy. It really started when my teammate, John Kaminsky, started getting looks, and me and him actually got the same agent. So once we got the same agent, I was like, I want to go through the same thing Kaminsky went through, and he flew me out to Florida. I trained. I went there January 3rd and then started training. I came home March 13th, I believe. So I went through the same pass rush camp and the same workouts that John Kaminsky went through. And I trust John Kaminsky 100%. So when he told me, his agent was 100%, and he'll do what he said he's going to do. I went with it, and I trusted in everything that he said so far, and he hasn't let me down yet.
And we're talking to Charleston nose tackle Kenny Randall. Kenny, you mentioned John Kaminsky. He went there to the Falcons, and he's done his thing. What is some of the feedback or just kind of the help that he's been able to offer you as you've gone through the process?
Yeah, so I talked to him. He came down actually to Florida while I was down there, so we got to talk for a little bit. And he said the main thing is just repetition. Just keep on repeating what you're doing in practice and then stay in the playbook so you learn what you got to do. First week, you got to stay in the playbook. Like, you're studying the whole time and you don't take days off. You walk around your house doing the reps, turning corners, turning your hips, like little things. He said, pay attention to the little things. So ever since he told me that, I've been harping on little things and doing yoga and doing stretches and stuff, trying to get my hips right, trying to get my ankles right, and just trying to become a better professional player.
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. And we had John on the show here, and I just remember talking to him before the draft, and I was like, yo, this guy has the right chip on his shoulder. Like, he has that right edge. How have you been able to develop that edge, and what has that been able to kind of do for you and your preparation, and how do you think that will help at the next level?
So me and Kaminsky been playing together for years, and he's always had that dog in him. Like, he just didn't care about anything. So My freshman year, I was a nose guard, kind of getting double teamed every play. I didn't really have that dog in me, and he pulled me aside and was like, if you want to get to the next level, you're going to have to have that dog in you. And I just kind of harped on that. My daily walk was just like, you're not going to bully me. And I just kind of ran with that. So I just became a bully ever since Kaminsky showed me ropes and helped me out on the field.
I love that. I love that, Kenny. That's what's up. You got the Collegiate Bowl mentioned, the East-West Shrine mentioned. I wish you could have gone to Shrine Week and showed off what you could do, because that probably would have parlayed into a Senior Bowl invite. I mean, I've seen it happen with guys. But still, just to mention, you know, what does that do for a guy like yourself to get those mentions with those type of all-star games?
Hey, it was nice. I was very grateful to get an invite from the Shrine and the NFLPA. It hurt that I didn't get the Senior Bowl invite. I was kind of anticipating on getting it, but I had a great experience going through the modules that they had for the NFLPA Bowl and then talking to Shaq Barrett at the Shrine. So it was a great experience that I had.
How about conversations with teams? I know the Titans have shown some interest in you. How have those conversations gone? And, you know, after that, I'm going to ask you specifically about the Titans, though. But just in general, how have they gone? What's the feedback?
Feedback's been good. I've been talking to a handful of teams. I've been talking to East Coast teams, West Coast teams, and the questions that I've been getting asked, I wouldn't have even thought of being in the questionnaire. Like, they're really trying to dig deep. They're really trying to see what they're getting their money on. And it's a whole different experience talking to psychologists too. So it's different. It's a different aspect from being recruited from college and then getting recruited to get in the NFL.
Hey, Kenny, I tell you a funny question, man, that I've heard. And, you know, as a guy I don't even know how to put this, but you have an understanding of where I'm going, I would imagine. But they asked him to give them 10 different things that they could do with a brick. And the guy, his name, he played a running back for 1,000 back in the day. I'm not going to say his name, but, you know, he said the first thing he thought of, because you know the thought process. You hear brick, you're thinking of something else. You know, he was like flipping. I was cracking up when he told me that. Another guy said they asked him to give them 20 things that he could do with a paperclip. And one of the things he said was pick the lock. I was like, bro, you failed the test right there. You know what I'm saying?
That lets you know your background right there.
Yeah, man, that's hilarious. So let's take it to the Titans, though, man. I know I got off track, but I'm comfortable talking to you like that, man. What about the Titans? How did that meeting go? Do you remember if it was with Coach Terrell Williams, a dark-skinned guy? He's the defensive line coach.
Yeah, it was with Terrell Williams. My agent talks to them a lot, but they reached out a few times just letting me know they're interested and getting basic draft information, kind of touching base here and there to see how my workouts are going, how my weight is. So they definitely have expressed a little bit of interest around my top three right now, I would say.
Nice, nice. What are your agents telling you as far as projections? Where do they see you going, like as things start to get more clear?
Right now, we just kind of talking about day three. We don't know really what round, kind of in between mid-sixth or seventh round. A few teams expressed preferred free agent, so hopefully I don't have to take that route and a team picks me up. There's been a lot of teams talking about picking me up, so hopefully that's the case that happens on draft day.
That's what's up, man. And, you know, here's the deal. Even if you don't get drafted till the seventh round, you're still a part of 2%, man. You know, 2% of guys in your position are able to go to the league. So once you get your foot in there, you already know what to do, man. I wish you the best with everything, Kenny. It's been awesome talking to you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yes, sir. All right, man, you take care.
All right, you too.
All right. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to freedomtireguys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at freedomtireguys.com.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Yes, yes, back from the break. Keeping that Black Rob bump going, man. Rest in peace to Black Rob. I keep saying it over and over again. One of my favorite artists. My favorite artist to listen to in the weight room. All that good stuff, man. So we're going to keep this thing moving. And I'm very pleased to bring in this next guest because it's like no one's talking about him. But anytime you think of the linebacker position, this is a guy that needs to be mentioned. And that's Purdue linebacker Derek Barnes. Derek, what's going on, man?
What's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, man, every day is a great day, man, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir, for sure. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. And I want to just jump right into just your game overall. I mean, it's really interesting watching you over the years at Purdue. I mean, you've played off ball. You know, you've been a Mike, you've been a Will, outside linebacker, defensive end. You've done pretty much everything except for play nose, you know what I mean? What is it about you? Sure. Well, why are you such a versatile player that could plug and play all over the place?
I would just say, really, first of all, I would just give a lot of thanks to God, you know, just the potential that I have. I mean, I've always been an underrated player. Really doesn't bother me. I just put my head down and work. It's really just, you know, if you think about it, if you love the game of football, you're willing to do anything, whether that's special teams, whether that's playing defense end, whether it's playing linebacker. For me, I just wanted to prosper in any position that I was put at, you know, anything to help the team out. I wanted to be known as a guy that can do a lot of things, not just one thing, which is good to, you know, do one thing because you can focus on that one thing and become better. But for me, you know, going from DN to linebacker and going from linebacker to DN, it really helped my game out, just understanding the placement of D-line, the placement of linebackers. I would just say I'm a very physical player. You know, I bring a lot to the table. It's just my mindset, you know, being an underrated player, you know, you have that chip on your shoulder and it makes you become hungry. And I was hungry, especially my senior year. You know, I wanted to show everybody who I really was as a player and that, you know, I can compete with these top guys, that I should be a top guy player. But, you know, I let people, you know, judge and say what they want to say. You know, I know who I am as a person, as a player. So none of that, anything doesn't really bother me as far as people, you know, saying I like this, like that. It's just, you know, when it comes to work and come to, you know, show out on the field, that's what I want to do. So, like I said, just put my head down to work, you know, pray a lot and just keep the game going. I love the game of football.
Absolutely. And I could tell you love it just in hearing the passion in your voice. And I love that, man. I eat that up, man. That's awesome stuff. And even watching you could tell you love it too. So let's talk about the outside linebacker part, the edge part of it. Do you have any particular go-to moves that you like to just keep in your toolbox for rushing the passer?
Right. For me, so it was just really when I first began playing outside linebacker, Leo, DN position, it was really just a raw thing for me, just basically go out there and be an athlete, get to a quarterback. That's what Coach told me. I said, okay, I got you. So sophomore year, when I played a little bit of defense and outside linebacker, you know, it was just I was really out there just having fun, just playing around because I wasn't really that serious in that position, but I still wanted to make plays. So, you know, I'd do the, you know, smack the hand down, the rip, swim moves, things like that. And, you know, as I got to my junior year to where I played the end, you know, I started to study players like Von Miller, Khalil Mack, you know, guys like them, their moves, what they do best, how to bend. But then my go-to move was just a bull rush because it was just funny because guys would think that, you know, you have this 6 foot, he probably weighs 240 pounds. He's not going to run through him. He's going to use finesse game. He's going to use speed. And, you know, that's how you set him up. So I would, you know, hit him with a stutter move. You know, they're bending at the waist and just run right through their face. That was my go-to move, just bull rush. You know, I love how much power I have, so I just really wanted to, you know, use that. So that was really my go-to move.
And, Derek, I'm glad you mentioned that, right? Because you mentioned your height, you know, at 6'1". And one of the guys that I always saw do that, just go with the bull rush coming off the edge, Elvis Dumervil. I don't know if you watched him, but that was the same situation. They'll say, oh, man, this guy's not going to have the power. And you see him smoothly escorting an offensive lineman back to the quarterback.
Right.
That's just how it works. So let's take it to the inside, right? Because this is where it really starts to pop out to me, where I'm really like, yo, this dude is ridiculous. You shoot gaps and deliver big hits with bad intentions, man. So tell me about that. Like, why are you able to shoot those gaps? What's on your mind? Because you play football like with a violent mindset.
Oh, you got to, especially in a game like this. I think, you know, at the next level, everything is always about performance. So what I wanted to do was just train myself to make plays. I'm one of them guys that, you know, I want to make the big play, the fourth down stops, the three down stops, you know, the big play, you know, coming downhill, hitting somebody, interceptions, things like that. So I wanted to be a playmaker. Just with that, I think that just comes from preparation. Get in the film room, watching your opponent, see what they do, see their strengths and weaknesses of, you know, the guards, the tackles, the running backs, quarterback, you know, does he give it away? Like, just, I think that's really is just watching film and just put myself in the right position to make the play. But everything else, you know, after you know what it is, you have to go. You know, I didn't want to be known as a hesitant player. So when I seen it, I just go and just trust what I watch on film and trust what I think the player is going to develop into. So that's really just my mindset. It's just, at the end of the day, you know, ain't no friends on the field. You know, I really just want to go out and, like I said, make plays and, you know, and bully up on some people. That's the best thing about football is the fact that, you know, the guy said in an interview in the combine a few years ago, you know, the fact that you can, you know, go down and punish somebody and not get in trouble for it. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, just really having the mindset. You know, I love the game. I'm a very humble person. I don't come off as a, you know, a mean guy, you know, celebrate here and there, you know, just kind of act like you've been there before, which I've been taught growing up. So, you know, I just love making plays. I just love the game of football, man, really, really do.
Absolutely. And that was Marlon Davidson out of Auburn that said that. And it was actually me asking him that question, you know, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Keep a focus on you, though. Lewis Riddick, he said you're a one-man wrecking crew. I talked to Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl a bit earlier today, and he said you're one of his favorite players in this draft class, and he just, you know, raved about the motor that you play with and just, you know, your personality. The leadership is something else that we'll talk about. But one of the other things he said was you're a sure tackler, and it shows on film. You get your hands on somebody, they're going down. What goes into that? Is tackling something? Obviously, I know you have to have the want to, first and foremost.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You also have that technique. So is that something that you were taught? What goes into being such a sound tackler?
Oh, yes, I definitely have to give a huge shout-out to Nick Holt, was my first defensive coordinator, and also Bob Diaco, was my second. They really influenced and enforced tackling. Tackling was very important for us. We did drills every day. But then also, you know, just come from, you know, the confidence of tackling. You know, to see who you're working with, kind of back as you shifty, you know, when should I break down, when should I – and just trust it. I mean, a lot of people, you know, some people think tackling is hard. But it's really a confidence thing. Like I tell everybody, you know, like tackling is having the confidence and knowing that you can make the play. And also, it also helps me having, you know, pretty long arms. You know, I can get a hold of guys, have a little bit of speed. So it just like I said, being in the right place at the right moment. But definitely have to get a huge shout out to my coaches. You know, they really enforce that. And you know, and also just being a ball player. I know being a linebacker, tackling is very important, and I just wanted to make sure I kept that along with my game throughout, you know, my years of college and years in NFL. So I'm glad I have that the attribute to bring to the table, for sure.
Being in the right place at the right moment is not a coincidence. That typically happens because you know where you have to be and you have the ability to get there. How much does film study go into that, and what is involved in your film study as a middle linebacker?
Yeah, so really, just a little background about me with the film situation. So when I first got to college, studying film was very difficult for me. Hmm. You know, coming from high school, it was really, you know, never enforced. You know, we really never watched film that much, except for after games, maybe once or twice during the week. But, you know, back in high school, you don't, if it's the coach is not enforcing, we had a great coach. You know, Coach Cos was a great coach. He played for the Bengals. You know, so I wasn't really taught. So when I got to college, you know, I was stuck behind watching film and reading my opponents, and I didn't know what I was looking for. And then so I started asking older guys, coaches on the way to watch film, and I just developed that. And then senior year, I took it really seriously. As far as I'm in the film room every day, at least, you know, outside of us just watching film as a unit, as a defense, you know, I'm in there maybe an hour, 2 hours a day extra, maybe three. And I think that goes a long way, man. Preparation is very, very, you know, important. Having a routine, I think that's what helped me. Having a routine throughout, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out, really helped me as a player. Because if you see, watch the film, some of those plays I make my senior year is because you'll see me, I'll move before everybody else does, because I know exactly what's coming before they even hike the ball. So I think preparation is very key, and that's one thing I want to carry over to the NFL is just, you know, having that ability to watch film and even elevate my film prepping and film watching. You know, then that's when you get the interceptions, the PBUs, you know, more tackles for loss. So, yeah, I think preparation is key to the game for sure. Like Luke Kuechly, I'm pretty sure he watches film, man. You watch that guy, he knows everything. That's how I want to be, so.
Hey, bro, you took the name right out of my head. That's where I was going next, so I'm glad we're on the same page there. Let's fast forward to the Senior Bowl, and we're talking to Derek Barnes, Purdue, a linebacker. Derek, you got the call from Jim Nagy. He calls you to let you know that you had the invite. Then you get there. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, Jim Nagy, man, amazing person, really for everyone, just for him to make all this happen, especially the Senior Bowl, because honestly, like, you're going to be 100% honest, if it wasn't for the Senior Bowl, I don't even think I would be in this position of even getting the opportunity to talk to people knowing me, people knowing what my game is about. You know, that, you know, it was in the question. Like, the agents told me, like, you're going to get a senior invite, but other ones were telling me, like, I don't think there's a chance. And you know, it kind of, you know, your feelings get a little hurt, you know, you kind of worry and have doubts about it. But I was on my way, to my girlfriend's, parents' house. And, you know, I get random phone calls all the time of, you know, just realtors and things like that. Just a bunch of people, scammers, things like that. And for some reason, like, someone's telling me, like, Derek, answer this phone call. So I answered, and Jim says, hey, Jim, hey, Derek, this is Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. And I had the biggest smile on my face, almost teared up, because, you know, it was just a blessing, you know, especially from a guy that wasn't even in the question of even making the Senior Bowl, having a combine invite, and just senior year comes up, pops up out of nowhere, and everything just started happening for this guy. So it was a blessing. As far as the experience down at the Senior Bowl, I would just say the opportunity was huge for me. Yeah. Getting in front of, you know, scouts, you know, late at night, 4 hours on Tuesday and Thursday of talking to scouts, having scouts get to know you, know what you're about, know, like, how you play your game, you know, do you know football, and then getting around, you know, great football players, competing with guys, the competition, you know, playing with those top athletes, top seniors at the Senior Bowl, just to see how you fit up against those guys. I think that was very huge for me. And, you know, getting around NFL coaches, having a NFL coaches to have coach you for a week, just to prepare you what it's going to be like at the next level. And, you know, it's been very helpful for me. My experience was great. I would never forget it. And hopefully one day I can go back and, you know, give speeches to, you know, upcoming classes that have the Senior Bowl. you know, just to have them know, like, this experience, you know, you only get this experience once in a lifetime. And it can take you, it can kill you, it can hurt you, or it can, you know, you can benefit from it. And, you know, just you have to take everything in and take it very serious because, yes, it is a time to have fun, but it's also business. So you have to treat it like that, you know, whether that's, you know, learning the playbook, you know, talking to the coaches, doing interview prep, things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, you are there to have fun and, you know, get to know people and get your face known and get your name known out there, though. But my experience at Senior Bowl was very, very good, and I really appreciate Jim Nagy for everything that he's done. So,
yeah, great perspective and balance there. I love how you showcased that. And one of the things you got to showcase there was coverage skill. So that was something that I really liked, seeing you go against running backs, you know, in one-on-ones and those type of things. But yes, I got to ask you, you know, you have running back in your background, right? So, you know, a lot of times you see, like, you'll see a receiver that played DB or vice versa. I can relate to that. But, you know, explain the similarity from a running back to play linebacker, how that kind of helps you become a better backer.
Yeah, so growing up, I always thought that I was going to be a running back. I always thought, because actually, I don't know if you know this, but my cousin is Sean Alexander.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
So my cousin Sean Alexander. So growing up, when I first started playing football, you know, you don't know what's going on. So, of course, first thing they do is put you on the line. So I was a center or guard for my first year and then end up, you know, we had a race between the whole football organization. I came at first by like 15 yards. Hmm. So they were like, got to put the ball in this kid's hand. So growing up, all I did was play running back. Running back was very huge for me, and I played running back and safety. Love defense, love hitting, but I love to run the ball. I love scoring touchdowns, being the star on the field. And I got bigger, you know, I got a little more height in me, always had a little girth on me, was always built, you know, I used to have a lot of nicknames for being buff. So, but, you know, playing running back was awesome, man. And just to relate that to playing linebacker, it just, as a linebacker, you having those running back skills, you kind of know, you know, the skill set and the mindset of a running back. And 9 times out of 10, like nine running backs out of 10 of them don't want to get hit. So their game is to try to find any way to get away from you, use their blockers to you know, to go the opposite direction for cutbacks. And like, so that's helped me elevate my game because I know, you know, they're going to find daylight. Running backs want to find daylight. And if you can disguise that there is daylight and then hoop, I'm right there. And then that's how you make plays. And I made a few plays like that. But just you have to use that mindset as a running back, as a linebacker, just knowing, you know, what the running back wants to do. But that's really it. You know, running back is an awesome position, but I know that, you know, I'm a linebacker at heart for sure, but love playing running back, love having the ball in my hand.
That's what I'm talking about. I talked to your cousin Sean back in, I want to say November or December. I was doing a piece on Derrick Henry, and he mentioned you. He was like, yeah, man, my cousin, you know, and I was like, okay, I'll keep an eye on him. So, yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up. Your pro day, man, 6'1", 245, 4'5", 37-inch vertical, okay, 29 on the bench. I saw your interview, I think it was with Stacey Dales, and I was like, yo, he yoked up a little bit, man, you know? So I hear what you're saying about always being buff, but what's the feedback that you're getting from teams? Like, what are they saying about you?
Really just, you know, I think today I officially have talked to all 32 teams. I'm missing a few, but almost all 32 teams. Just, you know, I get in the film, the Zoom meetings, you know, we watch film, break down film. They kind of show me their defense schemes, some of their defense schemes, go through my film. Really just that, you know, that I'm a good player and that, you know, I can make a great life out of playing football in NFL. Just, you know, that I'm a long-term player. Never haven't really got any feedback as far as round or anything like that, because I'm pretty sure they can't tell you that. But, you know, just that I can be a really good linebacker. You know, of course, things to work on, but, you know, my IQ of the game is awesome, is amazing. The way I play football, you know, I hear that a lot. Like, everybody loves my style of football, you know, the way I approach the game, the way I play it, you know, is, you know, that's what they love to see, you know, a kid who loves playing football. So that's kind of a little bit of the feedback I've been getting. But usually it's just going through film, and I'm trying to get to know you as a player, get to know you as a person, IQ level of the game. So that's really about it.
That's what's up. Have you spoken to the Titans at all?
Oh, I don't think I have. Okay. I think that's one of the teams that I haven't talked to yet. I think I talked to him at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
But it's been so many. I really don't remember if I did at the beginning of everything. But I don't think I have met with the Titans yet.
Okay. Last thing. Look, man, a sales and management major, so I know you know how to sell things. I need you to sell yourself, man. Sell yourself to my listeners, Derek.
Yeah, so really, why I think any NFL team should pick me just because I'm a versatile player. I don't do one thing. I do multiple things. I have speed, as you guys know, from Pro Day. I'm a physical player. I'm a guy that's going to go in there and be willing to do anything, play special teams, start on defense, contribute to the team, a guy that's going to work, that's going to watch film, a guy that's going to, not let anything disturb him. Is that's going home and watching film and studying the playbook and becoming the best player I can be. And I think my best football is yet to come, and I think that's one of the things that I really hold is that there's more of Derek Barnes and there's going to be more, and I can't wait to showcase that at the next level. So,
and one more thing that's a natural for a middle linebacker is the leadership, and you have that. Jim Nagy, just a parting shot before I got off the phone with him, he said that you will be a team captain, maybe not as a rookie, but in 2 to 3 years on whatever team you join, you'll be a team captain. So that's an endorsement right there. So I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no, I really appreciate you guys for having me and, realizing, how good of a player and person I am. I really appreciate that and appreciate you guys' time. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, for sure, man. Anytime, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You guys take care.
All right. Take it easy.